Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning, everyone. Our news takeouts begin with something of a Washington ritual and a couple of bad jokes. Louise Story joins us, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Also, Todd Zwillick down in Washington. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
So, Todd, how many lobbyists does it take to replace a regulation?
How many well-paid lobbyists they're in force?
How many lobbyists does it take to screw the American people, Louise Story? You know the answer to that one?
Well, there are 125 former congressional lawmakers and aides who are now working for financial companies.
Well, the interesting thing here, and it's a story that appears in the New York Times today, written under your byline, Louise Story. It's all about, not written under your byline, but in any case, it's all about the very, very cozy relationship between lawmakers and congressional staffs and the lobbying industry, which is a huge industry there centered on K Street in Washington. And now as healthcare reform is passed and the regulations are going to be written for the actual law, the lobbyists and the lawmakers and the bureaucrats are hard to distinguish. What have you discovered?
So there's a case that's been particularly controversial in the last few weeks. It's a person named Peter Robertson, who was a top aide on the House Financial Services Committee. And he actually, in the fall, so very recently, this past fall, was in there writing the regulation about derivatives. You know, those are those financial instruments that helped contribute to the financial crisis. And
we're not talking writing a memo. We're talking
writing
the actual regulation.
That's right. Yeah. Now, before he worked for that committee, he used to work for the Bond Market Association, an industry group, until 2007. Then he comes in, he writes this regulation, these rules that they're proposing that passed in the House in the fall. Now, in the last couple months, he has left and gone to ICE, which is the main exchange that will be affected by these rules. And this exchange is actually run by and influenced by the banks that clear derivatives, banks that play a big role in this market.
And so he comes from bonds, writes a regulation on the derivatives industry, and then goes to the exchange that
That's
handles
right.
derivatives.
That's right. And it's so egregious that Barney Frank, who runs this committee, has come out publicly and said that this is horrible. The problem is that the rules are very narrow in Congress, blocking former staffers like Peter Robertson from lobbying. So he's not allowed to contact people on his committee, on that House committee that he used to be on. But he can contact anyone on the Senate. He can contact anyone on any other committee that's relevant, like the Agriculture Committee in the House. So he can still do a lot.
And it's a cautionary tale as the regulations begin on a variety of issues. They're talking about financial regulations. That law is still pending. And, of course, healthcare reform, the regs are going to be written on that. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Can't wait to hear what Todd has to say about this.
Well, since we're talking about regulation, we heard from Senator Mitch McConnell. You want to hear what he has to say about this?
Perpetuate the one thing the American people have said they don't want to happen again, which is to have their tax money used to prop up a large failed institution. I believe that there is overwhelming Republican opposition to that kind of approach.
Our man on the Hill, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, Mitch McConnell is talking about a Republican opposition. Is he talking about Republican opposition to some of the financial services regulations?
That's exactly what he's talking about. And what you're hearing there is the sound of erstwhile bipartisan cooperation on financial regulatory reform evaporating in the Senate. This was the bill that everybody thought Republicans and Democrats would come together on, Celeste, because I think, as I've said before, the only institution in America less popular than Congress right now is Wall Street. So everybody thought they would want to get together and regulate them. And there were a lot of rumblings of a bipartisan deal, but politics is starting to get into this. Mitch McConnell and the Republicans came out of their weekly Tuesday meeting yesterday and tore apart the financial regulatory reform bill that Chris Dodd and the Democrats and the White House are trying to get passed. And part of they accused the White House of backing away from a bipartisan deal, and it sort of dissolved into a partisan scrap. But part of the situation here is on derivatives, because Senator Blanche Lincoln is chairman of the Agriculture Committee. She's in a tough reelection fight in a red state in Arkansas. The Agriculture Committee controls derivatives, and she has decided to get really tough on derivatives. She's tacked left, and she wants to very, very strongly regulate these. Republicans are up in arms, and now they say they don't want to talk anymore. So the whole thing has sort of dissolved into a partisan fight, and it's a question as to whether they're going to get this bill done at all now.
Okay, well, that clearly raised the question of whether or not election years actually motivate people to get things done. But let's talk a little bit about the nuclear summit going on in Washington. It has ended, But the START treaty that President Obama signed with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has started a new controversy in Washington. People thought there would be no problem in getting that approved through the Senate. Is there going to be a problem?
Well, there appears there might be a problem there. And it's unclear how much of a problem, but it doesn't look like that treaty is going to pass anytime soon. Republicans are now making noise that they're uncomfortable with the premise of that treaty, with a lot of the details, with what they call unspoken agreements between President Obama and the Russians that aren't even in the four corners of the treaty. And Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, in listing off his agenda for the spring and summer yesterday, said that the START treaty, it might take to the first of the year, his words, which means 2011, which means not this year, to get the Senate to ratify that treaty that President Obama made such a big deal of when he signed it in Prague.
Well, let's listen to what Senator Jeff Sessions had to say about the START treaty.
The president's stated goal of totally eliminating nuclear weapons is utterly unrealistic and makes me nervous about the whole process. If that's his goal, it makes me worried that they're not realistic in how they're doing things, number one.
Todd, that sounds like a no.
That sounds like a no from Jeff Sessions. Now, he's just one senator, and they're only going to need to peel, you know, one or two Republicans to pass this thing ultimately. But usually big international treaties on arms control don't pass by one or two Republican votes. They usually have consensus. That's the point. So it's not looking great for that now, and we're probably looking to 2011, Celeste, to see when this nuclear treaty passes.
Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Coming up, cities across America are seeing their populations changing. Does that mean their character is changing? We'll look at one city, Charlotte, South Carolina. Try and answer that question.
North Carolina.
Oh.
North Carolina, yeah. It's a northern city.
Really?
We're going to find out if it's southern.
Well, it's in South Carolina.
North Carolina.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.